Rabbi Chaim Bravender on the Halachot of Chodesh Elul.
I suggest that you, then everybody should do it on his own as well. Tov Kuf Pei Aleph. Tov Kuf Pei Aleph. Noagim Lakum Bashmores Lamar Slichos. As you all know that Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim is introduced by a period of 30 days starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul. And the Mechaber quotes the Minog, which is the Minog of Sfarad, Be'edot HaMizrach, that for an entire month they get up early in the morning, Bashmores, very early in the morning, to say Slichos, and they start from Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Ramah, however, points out that I guess there was a certain weakness in Eastern Europe, and therefore the minug of Bnei Ashkenaz was only from Rosh Chodesh v'eilach matchilim litkoa achar tefilas shacharis. Our minug is that the minug of Bnei Ashkenaz, that is that from Rosh Chodesh Elul you start blowing the shofar after davening, and he quotes several other minhagim. So that both the Bnei Ashkenaz and the Bnei Sfarad agree that the period that begins with Rosh Hashanah actually starts from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Actually starts 30 days more or less before Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Berurah, explaining why this is the case, he says that early in the morning, Masha Nagu mi Rosh Chodesh. Why was it that everybody sort of thought that Rosh Chodesh was the starting time for Rosh Hashanah? Because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai to receive the second Luchos, the second tablets. And then they sounded the blast of the shofar when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. And therefore, in order to prevent the second Matan Torah, the second event of Matan Torah, turning into a fiasco that the first event turned into. So that we understand that besides the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, according to as the Mishnah Berurah understands it, blowing a shofar is something that increases the yira, the fear of God, at any time. And since in the Chumash it says that this is what they did, so it becomes a special time. It becomes a special time. So that according to the Mishnah Berurah, we understood that in the Torah itself, that since this time repeats itself every year, I mean the time from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom HaKippurim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, and that time then was associated with Tkiyas Shofar, so it became reasonable, understood, the tradition, you know, understood in history, and this is something that Bnei Yisrael accepted upon themselves, and the Mechaber says Nohagim, right? You know, as you know, one of the primary distinctions between the way the Mechaber presents the information and the Ramah presents the information is that the Ramah always includes minhagim, the minhagim that were current in his time, whereas the Mechaber generally tries to stick to the essential halacha, meaning that which is in the Gemara and that which is discussed by the earlier poskim. But here, in Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, the Mechaber says, Noagim lakum be'ashmores. In other words, even though there's no particular source for this, at least not in the Gemara, right? It's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Gemara, but it was such a well-established minog that the Mechaber could not avoid quoting it. And so the Mishnah Berurah helps us to understand why this period of time is considered to be a period of time,
first of all, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai getting the Luchos, and since this is explained twice in the Torah, right? Moshe Rabbeinu himself explains it, and then we learned it in the parasha of Kisisa, that somehow the understanding that Bnei Yisrael had is that period, that the period of Moshe Rabbeinu's sojourn on Har Sinai, and the fact that Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim are declared special days by the Torah, that these two things cannot be torn asunder. And actually, in some way, the period of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, which is a period of reflection, of tshuva, of din, right? All of those words are appropriate. That period of time actually begins with Rosh Chodesh Elul, and for Ashkenazim, the significant component, I mean, the real change is that at the end of davening, we blow the shofar. And the shofar is somehow, even blowing the shofar at a time that is not designated, right? Because, you know, for example, at a Tanis Tzibur, the Torah, the blowing the shofar is connected to that special time when Yirah Shemayim is seen as being more necessary than in other times. So at a Tanis Tzibur, if you're fasting because of some tragedy that seems to be imminent for the Tzibur, so the Tanis Tzibur, the Tanis also includes Tkiyah Shofar, because our davening, which is, you know, we're depending on at that moment, right, against nature, there's no rain, or there's a drought, or we can't cope with the reality. So we hope that our Yirah Shamayim will somehow be effective to change the Gzeira B'Shamayim that affects us all. And one of the components of increased Yirah Shamayim, besides the fact that you are fasting, right? Everybody understands that fasting does it. But somehow, Tkiyah Shofar at any time, is a worthy component. So that when we blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's because we have some sort of an interest. We have an interest in making this whole period, and not just Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur itself, a time of a special time of Yirah Shamayim. Halacha Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, Noagim Lis'anos Erev Rosh Hashanah. Right, that there's a minhag, according to the Mechaber, to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah. This business of fasting is explained at greater length by the Ramah, and the Ramah says, Hamidaktikim Nohagu shekol echad misane ha'asora yomim v'chei nochon la'asos. He says, the Ramah says, not just Erev Rosh Hashanah, but fasting, somehow they used to fast 10 days. V'chei nochon la'asos v'kol eilu ata'anios. And he says, there are 10 days of fasting. I mean, okay, it doesn't work out exactly with Aseres Yimei Tshuva, because there's Rosh Hashanah and there's Shabbos, but if you work it out, we'll see in a minute how you work out. You can get 10 days of fasting, but what the Ramah goes on to say is this: V'chol elu atanios ein sorech lahashlim ve'ein korim bahem vayichal. It was that these taniyot, these days of fasting, even if the entire community is fasting, are considered to be the fasts of individuals. Each individual alone is taking upon himself the fast. And therefore, you don't have to do the things that you do in a Tanis Tzibur, like read the Torah in public, a special kind of reading which is appropriate for the Ta'anit. But in this kind of ta'anit, the ta'anit of the 10 days that some people accept, he says, "Ein tzarich lahashlim." You only fast during the day, and you don't read vayichal. Vafilu erev Rosh Hashanah, even on the eve before Rosh Hashanah, where apparently a lot of people fasted, you don't have to do these things. Okay, And then he goes on, and the Ramah goes on and says, Im chal bris mila be'er Rosh Hashanah, yicholim le'echol. But a bris mila, a simcha, you could eat. And then he says, a lot of people, he goes on and says that even though he agrees with the halacha of fasting, and he knows that many people do it, he says, Rov noagim le'echol be'er Rosh Hashanah, kodem alos ha-shachar, mishum chukos ha-amim, Shayu no hagim lis anos b'erev chagehem v'cholim la'echol below tonight. Achar shekei noagu. Okay, so he says that a lot of people would try to get up early in the morning and eat before the fast of Erev Rosh Hashanah because they didn't want to sort of be seen as imitating the non-Jews, right? So that's a matter of fasting. Fasting, everybody understands, it's something that is ma'orer ha'tshuva, that adds on. I mean, it's an introduction. You know, everything needs an introduction. So the period of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur has an introduction of 30 days, right? All of Elul, the period of Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Hadin, the beginning of the period of tshuva, has an introduction of Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? And Erev Rosh Hashanah, we'll see about fasting on Rosh Hashanah further on in the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Gimel is Ein oflim al pneyim be'erev Rosh Hashanah betfilo, afal pi shenoflim al pneyim b'shmoras b'slichos. That's a curiosity that you know that the slichos, which we will talk about on another occasion, the slichos ends with tachnun, right? We say tachnun at the time of slichos. Tachnun, you know, is a prayer, is like davening. Tachnun is like davening, but in a bent over position, right? We bow when we say Tachnun, as opposed to Shmoneh Esrei, which we say when we are standing. These are the different ways that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us how to daven, so that usually when we say Shmoneh Esrei, we also say Tachnun. For some reason, Tachnun is skipped over on special days, or the eve of special days. So even though Tachnun seems to be appropriate to Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless, on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, since Rosh Hashanah is considered to be a Yontiv, which we will also see, he says you don't say Tachnun, even though you said Tachnun in Slichos. And also, we don't blow shofar, the Mechaber says, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, since blowing shofar during Elul is a minhag, so not blowing shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah is also a minhag. The point, I guess, is to distinguish the blowing of the shofar during the month of Elul, which is less important. I mean, it's Ma'orer Yira Shamayim, but it's less important. And from the blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, right, if you had to count the number of mitzvahs deraisas that we are able to perform during the year in an unadulterated fashion, you would come up with a very small number. This number is discussed, the mitzvahs is listed by the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs at the end of the mitzvahs essay. The book is divided into three parts, right? There's the theory, right? The Sefer HaMitzvahs, how the Rambam decided what should be included. Then the mitzvahs say, then the mitzvahs lo say. At the end of the mitzvahs say, the Rambam makes this rather astounding statement. He counts the number of mitzvahs say that you actually do. And he comes up with a number which is probably much smaller than the number you think that it is. But it's very far from taryag. You know, like, see, I mean, 613 includes asay and lo say, but the Rambam's number is very far from that number. Then halacha dalet, mechapsim umistaprim be'erev Rosh Hashanah. The Mechaber says, but Rosh Hashanah, you know, for all the fear of God that we have and all the nervousness that we can generate, is still a yontif. And just like an every yontif, there's an obligation to be yontifdik, right, to look good. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to wash your clothes, you have to take a haircut, erev Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah says, Noagim litbol be'erev Rosh Hashanah, right? Noagim litbol be'erev Rosh Hashanah. There's a minig that Erev Rosh Hashanah, I mean, we're talking about people who don't go to the mikveh every day, right? The Ramah was probably not a chassid, right? Because he was temporarily, it was inconceivable that he could be a chassid, since he was born at the wrong time. But he also, you know, did whatever people did. And people apparently did not go to the mikveh every day in the time of the Ramah. But on Erev Rosh Hashanah, they did. They did go. And that's why today the minhag is that everybody goes to the mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah. V'yesh mikomos nogim lilech al hakvoros o laharbel shom betachanos v'nosnim tztoka la'aniyim. And then there's also a minhag, as you know, Erev Rosh Hashanah. You could see it here in your Shalayim, to go to the Kever, to go to Kever Ovois, that, in other words, this is also seen somehow as being, even though there's some dispute amongst the poskim, the earlier poskim, about whether going, there are certain problems with going to the Kever, to a Kever, whether you can daven or you can't daven, whether it's something that helps my ability to daven or doesn't. But in Am Yisrael, the minig is very widely accepted that Erev Rosh Hashanah, sometime before Rosh Hashanah, you go to Kever Ovos in Yerushalayim. I know that there are special buses. You know, Eged is very accommodating and taking people to Har Menuchos in the time before Rosh Hashanah. So then, Tav Kuf Pei Aleph says there are minhagim which we have accepted. Minhagim in this case meaning no obvious source. I mean, the sources of the people who quote minhagim. I mean, it's written. It's not that it's not written anywhere. The Shulchan Aruch for us is a primary source. So it's not exactly meaningless that it's written in the Shulchan Aruch. However, it somehow represents the spirit of Am Yisrael. The spirit of Am Yisrael, which declared that unlike perhaps some of us, or the way we've grown up, or what we did in our former lives, where Rosh Hashanah was like an interruption. You know, like everything is fine, and, you know, we're eating well and working well and having a great time, and along comes Rosh Hashanah and interrupts everything. The way that Am Yisrael understood this time from Rosh Hashanah until after Yom HaKippurim was that in order to do it right, in order to be able to concentrate on Rosh Hashanah, on whatever it is that you should be concentrating on, it was necessary to get involved in the Rosh Hashanah kind of topics before Rosh Hashanah. And the time that was determined as being the appropriate time was a month. And therefore, we have Tkiyah Shofar during that month, Slichos during that month, the beginning of Ta'anesim, of fasting during that month. And we try to remember also that that Rosh Hashanah is a yontif, and therefore we wash our clothes and we take a haircut before Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah quotes the fact that even though it was not accepted on other days of the year, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, everybody went to the mikveh, I guess also because even though in those days, right, you didn't go to the mikveh on other times of the year, but the feeling that tahara, even if it was not exactly halachic tahara, that the tahara that was offered by going to the mikveh, if you look at the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvos, you'll understand that the tahara, the Rambam says that the tahara that derives from the mikveh is a tahara that comes from kavona. Right, your intention is not as though you go to the mikveh and you wash off the tumah, right, and then everything is fine. But the Rambam actually at length discusses the issue and says that the mikveh is kind of a trigger. It reminds you, it makes you think about who you are, and when you go to the mikveh, your thoughts turn to matters of Tahara Tuma, and the chances that you'll be in the right frame of mind are greater. And that's why the Torah obligated in certain situations the mikveh. So Am Yisrael thought, Am Yisrael thought that going to the mikveh is a proper preparation for Rosh Hashanah, is a proper preparation where we have to think about things with greater intensity that are appropriate all year long, that's true, but which in this designated time are more become more obvious and more part of our obvious or open kinds of thoughts. So that's the siman tav kuf pei aleph. We'll continue tomorrow.